I would like to read on the occasion of the day and the time in which we have now arrived, the story of the Lord's birth from Luke 1. Luke 1 from verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. To this, the word from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, from verse 1. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou wilt make gladness great. They shall rejoice before thee, as one rejoices in harvest, as one rejoices in dividing the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it has lighted upon Israel, and all the people shall know. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. We are very grateful to the Lord that he has come to us. Only through this have we been given the opportunity to go to him. And it is actually the only word in this context that we find with the term virgin. And when we already read this word here, the angel of the Lord, or the angel Gabriel, came to the virgin. In this time, we are asked again and again about Matthew 25, who are the virgins, what are all the connections? Just as here, a virgin was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God was made flesh in her by the same Holy Spirit. So the same Word of God of promise is put into all the true believers in this time by the Holy Spirit. It is a part of what God is bringing to pass and to fulfillment in this time according to His plan of salvation. And just like then, here comes an angel, and we know in all the seven messages to the churches, it says, "And to the angel of the church write," and at the end it says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." The Spirit reveals the word of promise, puts it into our hearts, and makes it alive, so that it can be believed and can bear fruit and be realized in this time, namely what God announced through the mouth of His servants and prophets, and what He promised by grace. Mary was actually a counter-image of what Eve experienced at that time. Eve was not a virgin when Adam knew her. And Paul says in one place, probably in 2 Corinthians 11, "I fear that as Satan beguiled Eve, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And here we see a virgin who could say, "I know not of a man, blank spot, nor have been born by the will of any man, but of God." Here we have the comparison with the birth of Jesus. He was not born of the will of a man, not naturally, but supernaturally. The word of the Lord went forth, the Holy Spirit came, and it said, "That which shall be born of thee is of the Holy Ghost, and shall be called the Son of the Highest." So also all true believers are not begotten by the will of an evangelist or by the word of a preacher, but by the will of God, and by the word of God, and by the Spirit of God, begotten and born again unto a living hope. And they can say, "Abba, Father." And therefore it is written of the Lord Jesus, "He was not ashamed to call us His brethren, and to declare and reveal His name to His brethren, for we were begotten of the same Spirit." That is why the Lord Jesus was able to say, "I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God," because we have been begotten of the same Spirit and have become sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is our attitude now as true, as wise virgins in this time, that we do not take any other seed into us and do not defile ourselves in any way. We can truly say we know of no man, but one thing we do know, the Holy Spirit has come upon us and revealed the word of promise. We have believed it, and we may experience it, that something new has come into being by the grace of our God, not by the will of a man, but by the will of God, born again unto a living hope. And that is our comfort and our confidence in all circumstances of life. In this word here, we see the incarnation of the Lord. He who was Spirit came in the flesh, made Himself of no reputation, and took on the form of a servant, became like us, found in fashion as a man. But the same is true of us spiritually. Insofar as we leave this world, we will be changed into His image, just as He left that world and was transformed into our image. So we will be transformed into His image when the moment has come and the Lord Himself finishes His work with us all. Here He has become like us. There we will be like Him. The Holy Scripture says, 1 John chapter 3, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, But when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Here on earth he ate, he drank, he was found in fashion as a man. There in glory, all who have received the word of promise, upon whom the Holy Spirit could come. And this is, I think, the difference in this time between the wise and the foolish virgins. The wise do not defile themselves. They hold fast to the word, revealed and destined for this time, and the same Holy Spirit has come upon them, has been able to create something new in them. It will not be the case with the others, because they cannot keep still, they cannot wait. We already see it with Abraham. It is very nice to receive a promise, but it's a little more difficult to wait for it. And we hear over and over again in the sermon that he persevered, and that's true. But you know the story with Ishmael. It's in between. The story with Ishmael, it's in between. That was the trouble at that time. It has been the trouble right up to this present time. Both were sons of Abraham, but one was according to his will. Oh, you know the whole story. The other was because of the promise that God had given. And the hatred was between them from the beginning. There was no harmony. And when the inheritance was to come, one went away empty-handed, and the other inherited everything, because he had come according to the promise of God. And so it is in this time. We do not want to be without promise. We want to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And we want the Holy Spirit to come upon us all in a mighty way. We have no doubt about it, but believe that all those who receive the word of promise for their time, something happens in them by the grace of God. The Lord cannot do otherwise. Just as an angel was sent here at that time to speak and bring the word of promise, so God sent the angel to the church in each of the seven church ages to address the word of promise to them. And as far as the word went out, the Holy Spirit was present to bring it to life, to make something new happen. We know that of the beginning it is written that the Spirit of God hovered over the deep, and when the Lord spoke, then it happened. The Spirit of God works, but the Lord also still speaks. The Spirit of God can only work when the Word of God goes forth, the Word of promise that we need for this time and have also received. Here the prophet Isaiah expresses it with these words: "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast given them great joy, the joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." This is our lot, brothers and sisters, in the Lord. Insofar as God causes the light to shine in darkness and we see it, we rejoice. But the light is not given that we may admire it or always look up into the light, as the sun worshippers do in India, that they look up until they get blind. When the one man was brought to Brother Branham in Bombay, India, in 1954, Brother Branham told him his name, that he was married and how many children he had and so forth. And he says, "I see you've been a sun worshipper probably for 18 years and you are totally blind." It can happen to people who see the light in this time. But instead of using the light to orient themselves, to know where they are going, to look around where they are, then they think they have to look into the light. That doesn't help anyone, really. Even in the Old Testament, where the lampstand was lit, you couldn't stand in front of the lampstand forever and admire it. You had to look at the table with a showbread. You had to see what God had prepared in the sanctuary. Even talking about the light is of no use to anyone unless you can find your way around and you know what the light is actually given for, and then you know what you have to be grateful to God for. Just a little example here. Already the prophet says that the light will shine, but then it doesn't say that they will look into the light, but he will multiply and give them great joy. Why? One finds his way in the light. He who walks in the light does not stumble. He who walks in the light has fellowship with God and has fellowship with one another. There are enough scriptures that tell us about what is in the light. In his light we see the light, and we see the revelation of his word. And then we can say, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So it's not just a conversation about these things, not just a discussion, but we have come to understand the light has come for a certain purpose, namely to give the light of God in the sanctuary so that we can see all that is prepared for us. And whoever looks around properly in the sanctuary of God and walks in this light, there will be much rejoicing. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil, that's how it says here. You all know that when you used to do some pranks in your youth and you had something to distribute, it was always very nice. And how much more in spiritual things? We are happy when we can distribute booty. Because somewhere there has been a victory, somewhere we have achieved something, won something. The Lord won the victory in Gethsemane, realized it on Golgotha, made all enemies his footstool, and said, All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me, that no one should perish anymore, but that we should distribute the spoils and rejoice. You know, back in the time of Abraham, when he set out to seize the kings and overpower them, when this battle was over, before they could even distribute spoils, the king of Salem was already greeting him and celebrating the meal with him. God is a God who gives victory and who leads and guides his own, and reveals unto them the right hand of his arm. I had to think about that just today. Somewhere in the Word of God it is written, and the right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord upholds the victory. And the word came unto me from Revelation 1, where it says, In his right hand he has the seven stars. And the connections that come to you are so precious. When you think about it, that the right hand of the Lord upholds the victory, and after all these seven messengers of God have brought their messages, certainly the right hand has not fallen down, but the right hand is exalted, it is stretched out, the Lord upholds the victory and will reveal it and bring it to pass. He will make the joy great among his people because of what he has done by grace in this time. We do not dance around in the light, but we orient ourselves. We look to and fro and see what God has done by grace, and we can be happy about that. Whoever sings the chorus, Count the good things that God has done for you, we could all count, and the longer we would count, the more we could list of what God has done in us by grace. Let us be people like Mary, who received the word of promise. Even we are not sure at the moment, we also don't know of any man. We can't say, I stand by Paul, I stand by Peter, I stand by that one. We stick to Christ. Did not Paul say, I have espoused you to one husband? We know him, Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. We serve him, we love him. In this context, another word came to me, namely what is written in Matthew 25. There it says, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. If you read for the people of Israel, for them it is written, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble, riding on the colt of an ass. That was, "Behold, thy king cometh." But for us it says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And that is quite a tremendous comfort to all those who have grasped what it is all about at this time. The word of promise for this time has been delivered to us by the messenger and angel sent from God, who spoke in the name of the Lord. We have believed it. Holy Spirit has come upon us, and the power of the Most High overshadows us. The man-child is born like the dew from the dawn, after the pattern of Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord, who had to come forth as the first fruit, that we all might follow his example. Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word." The same we can say, "Lord, we are your people. Be it done to us as you have said." And to us is done as he said, right or not. It is happening to us exactly as he said. The revelation of his word, everything has happened to us as he said. Nothing will he omit. And if anyone still thinks God has to do something, don't worry, he knows it too. But it is written, "Ye that remind God, give yourselves no rest, neither give him rest by day or by night, until he arise and brings to pass the word." Something like that it says in the prophet. We know that we can remind him in love of what he still wants to do, and God will be pleased with that. I have the impression that he is about to do something quite soon for the glory and honor of his name. Let us give him the opportunity in every way in our midst to put his word into our hearts in such a way that absolutely not even the slightest spark of unbelief and doubt would want to exist. But all who hear the words written in these days and intended for this time, let us hear them and believe them. And we are convinced that the Holy Spirit will make all things alive. He will make it well with each one of us, as with Mary. Let nothing be mixed up anymore. Let us take heed that it is God's pure and holy word, whereby a pure and holy bride is presented to the Lord without spot or wrinkle. For if the word we preach were not pure, how could a pure bride come forth? But where the pure, the holy, the precious, the everlasting word of God is proclaimed, there God has his way, there he reveals his power and his glory, there he has sent his blessing to reveal himself mightily and to glorify himself in those who trust in him with undivided hearts. This is our desire in this time, to mix absolutely nothing, but to leave his word as it is written. And he will bring it to pass in these days. For those who want to be baptized today, it should be said very briefly that biblical baptism is not only a form that we let pass over us, but it is an ordinance given by the Lord himself, and according to the word of God, especially according to what is written in Romans 6, baptism symbolizes being buried with Christ, and being raised out of the water symbolizes being resurrected with Christ to a new life, so that the old man has died to all that he was, and that the new man, who is created in God's image, in righteousness and holiness, that from then on we live unto the Lord God. It matters not only that the words spoken are right, it matters that the life is right when one is baptized. Even there it could be that someone says, "Well, I will be baptized biblically now." That is right, but that is only perhaps half of the matter. The second half would be that our own lives are in line with the word that we now want to fulfill, and that we found grace before God in every way to walk in truthfulness with God. And as Peter puts it in one place, baptism is the covenant of a good conscience with God. That too must be there. It is no use just saying, I want the right words to be used, or some say the right formula. No formula is needed here at all, but the right words. But we want all those who are baptized to have understood what it is all about. That it is not just an act that we are performing here, but that is being administered by the commission of God, that it is a step of obedience that God blesses, a step that He demanded in His Word when it was said at Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So baptism is a confirmation that sins have been forgiven. Every person who wants to be baptized must have the assurance of forgiveness of sins. He must believe with all his heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for sins, that He took them from us and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, blotting them out by the blood of the Lamb, never to be remembered again, but forgiven and remembered no more. As a songwriter sings, as surely as the sun shines in the sky, I, sinner, have been forgiven. That's how it must be. One must not want to ask the preacher first what he says about it, whether one can be baptized or not. You can't talk to anyone else about it either. It just has to be like at that time with Philip. Oh, who was it? Yes, Philip. And the eunuch. As they were on their way, he suddenly says, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? And they both went down into the water, and he baptized him. That's the way it has to be. A heart desire to do the will of God, knowing in the heart, that's an obedience step that I take out of love for God. And then the blessing of Almighty God will rest upon us all. So it says, as many as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death, so that no one may live for himself anymore, but that what we now live, we live by faith of the Son of God. And to go one step further, as Paul said, that Christ may live in me. That's it. Not only a life in Christ, but that Christ might live out His life through all of us. And that He might come into our lives, that the first place and also the last place would be given to Him, and that He might have the say in our lives. So, I don't know who wants to be baptized, but that's what we wanted to say beforehand, that we don't just baptize in this place. We want to baptize believers, people who have received Jesus Christ into their hearts, who have looked to Golgotha and accepted the forgiveness of their guilt and sin through faith in Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer sings, whoever sees Jesus on the cross in faith will be saved at that very hour. Salvation is not in baptism, nor is forgiveness in baptism. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, and the forgiveness of our guilt and sin is in the shed blood of the Lamb. But it is a step of obedience, a covenant of a good conscience with God, essential for all who want to stand their ground before God. The time of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people in all places to repent and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the divine pattern given and established from the beginning of the Church. And this is what we all want to keep until we come from believing unto seeing. If there are some in our midst who would like to be baptized, but perhaps do not have the final certainty in their hearts through the Spirit of God, we are gladly prepared to take time for prayer. But we do not want anyone to go to baptism with inner doubts, with a question, am I ready, am I not ready? But whosoever is baptized, do it in faith. We can only do it in faith if we have certainty about it. And the scripture says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And what is not done by faith is sin. So we want to encourage everyone to take the step of faith, the step of obedience. But we don't want to influence or push anyone in. We want to help in prayer. I say again, if there are brothers and sisters in our midst, perhaps newcomers, who do not yet have this total certainty of the biblical way of faith, we would like to pray with you. And if it were here in the front, that you have the certainty, and then we would all be glad for everyone who can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Biblical baptism is the baptism of believers alone. The term infant baptism is totally incorrect, and the term adult baptism is only partly right. Only the term believer's baptism is right. Jesus says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So, it's a baptism of believers. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we see that even salvation is connected with faith and baptism. One day I met a man somewhere over there on the last journey who wanted to say, listen, it is only written, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It is not written, he that believeth and is not baptized shall not be saved. I said, listen, how do you read your Bible? How do you read your Bible? It is enough to read the Bible as it is written. But people try to find a door somewhere. There's only one door, and that is Jesus Christ. There's only one way, and that's Him, only one truth. If you look for it any other way, you won't get in. You can't. And when He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, then I'm not looking for unbelief and not being baptized. I'm looking for faith and being baptized because I want to be saved. But people somehow still want to find their own way. There is no such thing. There is no own way and no own will anymore. Jesus Christ, perhaps this word fits here, He seized us. We are His for time and eternity. His word is a lamp to our feet in all things, and He will bless those who are willing to walk in obedience in His ways and fulfill what He has said. May God bless us and be with us all. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Let us sing, just as I am. Praise the Lord. It is written in Matthew 17, in the event on the Mount of Transfiguration, although Moses and Elijah were there, John, James, and Peter, but when the bright cloud came over them and the voice sounded, they saw no one but Jesus alone. And that's how we feel at this time. We are thankful for all the prophets, for all the apostles. We are thankful for his messenger whom he has sent in this time. But when the bright cloud really comes over us, we see Jesus Christ transfigured, walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Him we shall hear. That's how it was said. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. Him we have heard. And further on, we shall see him and hear him. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We are thankful for the seven stars in his right hand, but the walking one, the speaking one, whose voice was and is and will remain like a trumpet, that is Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom is due all praise and all honor and all glory in time and throughout eternity. To this we hold fast and with great joy. I've had to say over there that I don't think they ever feared giving the right place to the Lord Jesus. They were always afraid that they would always have to give Brother Branham the right place, and maybe more than that. But the time has come when we put all things right, namely where they belong, to give the Lord Jesus the first place. He is the first, he is the last, and in between he is also. Praise and thanks. In between he is also. He is all in all, and all his servants, to them he has assigned the right place. And in this way, we receive it from our hearts, and thank God for the grace that we may see and hear what he had to say to us at this time. We are not ashamed of the fact that the Lord directed every message to the angel and that he brought it to the church. That is the truth. We heard the voice of the seventh angel in this time, understood what the sound of the trumpet had to say to all of us, or what he had to draw attention to. We are really very grateful for the liberty of the Spirit, for the clarity in the Word, and for the continuation by the Holy Spirit. He will bring everything to pass. We have heard the word of promise from a called mouth. It has become spirit and life. The power of the Most High is upon us. And that which is born of this living seed of the Word of God shall be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in the day when he shall come again to take his own and to find admiration among them. Praise and thanks be to his glorious name. Heavenly Father, what shall we say? We do not have the right words to describe everything. As in a film, we see before us realized and fulfilled all that the holy prophets and apostles spoke of, all that you promised. And so we also thank you for this service, for baptism, for all those who are ready to walk the way of obedience. We also thank you for what we have seen and experienced over there, for what we have been allowed to say. You yourself will bring forth the fruit for the glory and honor of your name. We do not place ourselves above our brothers. You are our head, we are the members. But the ministries and tasks are different, and we must all recognize and acknowledge this and bow and submit to it. For you are finishing your work in this time and doing great things through your Holy Spirit. You have accomplished much. You have made joy great among your people. We praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, Amen.